right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnow. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that will inspire you to think in a new way. And every week I have conversations with cutting-edge thought leaders, people that I think are going to stretch you, I know, and stretch me and entertain you, enlighten you, empower you. And there was a couple, Brad and Casey Wallace, came to me through some colleagues, and they're renowned speakers, they're workshop leaders, they're facilitators of consciousness and all that kind of stuff. And they have something unique. They have an entity that speaks through one of them that named Julius, and more or less teaches us how to become more conscious, gives us guidance, teaches us how to feel empowered. And what happens with a lot of us, a lot of times, a lot of the answers are obvious to us, but we resist opening ourselves up and allowing that information to come into being. And so what I'm hopeful here is that in this conversation, you open yourself up and allow what is said to kind of come into your consciousness. So welcome, Casey and Brad Wallace, to the Inspire Possibility Show, and Julius. Welcome, Julius.
Thank you for having us on your show, Mark. This is just a fabulous opportunity for us to talk a little bit about Julius and who we are and what we do.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I was saying off air that you have quite a resume. You've been on several national TV programs. You've been on CNN, and tell us some of the other shows you've been on.
Well, there's a whole list of
limited to five.
Yeah, you know, we've been mostly what we have a whole lot of fun with, Mark, are shows like yours and podcasts and stuff. This is the really fun kind of shoot from the hip type of stuff. You know, when we're on some programming, it tends to be a little bit scripted, you know, and things like that, which is fine. But these are the shows that we love. We love your audiences. They're raw. They're excited. Sometimes they're pissed, and we're okay with that.
Right.
You know, that's what we've been having a whole lot of fun with this year.
These types of programs are much more intimate for us. And, you know, where we're not operating off a script, where we're just shooting out there and you're throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Right.
Well, okay, I'm gonna look at my wall. See what I see. See what comes to me. See what comes.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to start. I know we're going to get real out there, but I want to come something real basic. I know that I read in the materials that your assistant sent me about a car accident that changed your life, and can you and how you met. So could you more or less tell us what occurred there? That was, about 10 years ago?
Yeah. This was actually the beginning of all of this. I was a contractor, and Casey was a hairdresser. We weren't married.
Yeah, my daughter worked for Brad, Mark. That's kind of how just that very, very small connection just happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the connection, was the daughter. And I got in a car accident, suffered a brain injury. Her daughter, being my assistant, They contacted her, and she became my basic caregiver for over a year.
Yeah, Kimberly and I Go ahead.
This is Casey's daughter now you're talking about?
Yeah.
Came here,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. They would take me to, because I live up, I've got this farm up here in the mountains, and town was 40 minutes away, and so I couldn't drive, and so her daughter would get my scheduling together for me, and they would run me back and forth to town. So I would get to my doctor's appointments. And one of the medications that they prescribed to me was a very highly addictive medication that was supposed to shut my brain down at night so I could sleep, because I would stay up for three to five days without any sleep. My brain just wouldn't shut down. And so I got the prescription that morning, and by the afternoon I had basically swallowed the whole bottle of pills, not realizing that I was doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And so when Casey...
We found him unconscious and non-responsive about 7 p.m. that night. I started CPR on Brad for about 30 minutes while the emergency teams got here. That's when he had his near-death experience.
Yeah, I was out of my body and watching all of this transpire. I tell people it's like a picture-in-picture moment, like people have on their television screens. I was able to watch what was going here on this earthly realm, and at the same time, I was able to experience the other side. And this was going on, and it went on for 8 hours in human time. On this earthly realm, 8 hours I was gone. And they didn't think I was going to make it. In fact, the doctor had...
So the paramedics were there when this was going on for you?
Actually, he was transported to the hospital by this time. So during the time that I was trying to resuscitate him, during transportation, and then arrival in time in the hospital, they were pumping his stomach. They had him hooked up to everything. He was gone. He was out of here.
Right.
And, they came out and told me they didn't think he was going to make it.
I was non-responsive as far as the medical reports go. And, the doctor walked out of the room, told everybody to come in and say goodbye. And, bam, I shoot up out of bed, and I'm just blabbering like a idiot, just cracking jokes and laughing. And the doctor looked at me and turned around and walked out and has never talked to me since.
Yeah, during the, when he woke up, Mark, I immediately started trans-channeling Julius back to him. So this is the group that he saw and chatted with while he was on the other side. And I think they just wanted to make sure that he realized that it wasn't a dream, that it was very real. They started repeating a lot of the subject matter that they had spoken about. And that's how this kind of crazy thing took place. So from there, I would channel Julius to Brad pretty much on a daily basis, worked him back through his recuperative year of learning how to walk and talk and get his brain going, and Brad started writing a book about the experience, and the publisher was so interested in how this channeling phenomenon took place, he asked if I could do this on stage, and I said, no, you're not on stage, and but they did, and that's how it started.
So what's the name of the book?
What If? Thought-provoking questions. What If? Thought-provoking questions. The author is Casey Brad. In fact, we're working on another book right now. I've actually got three books out. They're on Amazon, but they're old.
They're 10 years old now.
They all are. You know, after about 6 months goes by or a year, they seem ancient. I have that same experience in my books.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I do have
a year
new
goes
one.
By. Yeah.
Yeah. So
what is it now? What I'm a little confused by is the gibbering is coming from Brad, and the gibbering was, you were saying this was Julius at the time?
Yeah.
When you were doing Julius, this talking?
Yeah, well, what happened is Julius would talk to me, teach me how to circumvent the damage that was done to my brain. Humans only use 3%. We only use 3% of our brain, and we all use the same 3%. There's all that other parts of the brain that are available for us to access, and Julius taught me how to access other parts of my brain through this process, and we just worked around the damage that had been done. And my the last doctor that I had, he was absolutely amazed at the progress that I had made and the fact that I had gone off all medication and that I was able to function.
Wow. What I'm a little confused about is if it, now in the work you do, Julius comes through Casey instead of you. So I'm a little
yes.
How did that occur?
No, that's perfectly fine. I hear the conversation with what's going on. The problem is my brain still, because my brain still has a bruise on it, and it will probably never go away. And so at some point, I start getting confused, and a lot of words I get words mixed up. But I hear the conversation that they're saying to me through Casey, and they will trans-channel through Casey and talk to audiences and talk to other people, but I'm very much aware of that conversation that's going on.
I see. So so Julius, now this entity that speaks through you and Casey, has a whole school of wisdom, and a lot of this is around self-empowerment, about removing limitations in your life, how did that play out in your life? What were some of the limitations that were removed in your life through this other
Well,
choice?
I had grown up in a deeply religious family. Religion was very much the third wheel in the family. I mean, it was our way of life. It dictated everything that basically went on. And
right.
So
and just, Brad, let me just let the listeners know that you were living in Utah. Is that right?
Yes.
And,
that is correct.
And I think I read in your introduction you were a Mormon at the time?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. That was a big factor of your life until this, right?
Right, that is correct. And my family still has a hard time communicating with me today because of that fact. Because I've left the church, I'm no longer involved in it. And we've become more empowered in our thoughts. And so that was one of the huge changes that came about. But the one thing that I think that's more important than anything else about our message that we bring to everyone is the fact that Julius, as a collective, they have all been human. They have all lived on this realm of existence, and they have all gone through the human existence, and so they know what it means to be human, and the requirements and the fear and all of those things that each of us go through on a daily basis. They've done it, they've been there, and they've expanded beyond that.
Would you say that you talk about Julius as a collection of souls?
Would that be a way to absolutely
Julius?
Yeah. Very high life energy soul, yes.
So it's like a collective wisdom that is channeled through Casey, I guess.
So, yeah, Mark, the best way to describe it is there's levels and phases of consciousness. When you are a human embodiment, most people take on the limited perception of individual, of singularity and separation. As you raise your consciousness, even as a human embodiment, you start to definitively become aware of the connection to everything, to everyone and everything. You continue to raise your consciousness, then you eventually get to a point where you really do refer to yourself as one. It's the we are all source, there's only one of us. So as Julius has ascended through consciousness and now sits on the sixth seal of consciousness, they refer to themselves as a they instead of a singular. So that's kind of the best way that we can describe why, although there is a name of Julius, which is the last name that one of them had in their last physical existence, but that's why you'll often hear them refer to themselves as we instead of I.
So for a lot of people to hear this, what are like some of the, when you give talks, I'm sure there's a certain resistance that people have to a certain wondering if this is really some kind of gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Is that,
yeah.
I mean, that, so what, tell me what occurs. I mean, what are the, because I'm familiar with this kind of work myself. Like I told you, I live in Marin mm-hmm. County, and everything happens here. But what are some of the things that come up when you give these programs with people? Do they question
usually
the validity of?
Yeah, usually not a lot. Tuma, by the time they have done a little bit of their own work, if they're coming to see us, they're familiar with the process.
Right.
They're familiar with the messages. On rare occasion, we may get somebody in the audience that seems to be very, not so much questioning whether I'm channeling Julius, but will sometimes confront some of the message that Julius is giving. And Julius usually handles that very, very well with the other person.
Right.
Usually and so that's usually what happens. I've never had anybody in an audience not believe that the channeling is taking place. Most of those people
right.
who are spending their valuable time and their money are already kind of into the process rather than, just a naysayer of channeling per se.
Right.
I mean, we get emails occasionally, but it usually just kind of works itself out in a non-confrontational way, in a very inviting way and loving way and honorable way. Usually Julius can get the person to feel good about what's going on, move themselves into an open-minded state and realize that everything's for their benefit, and
right.
it usually just works itself out, yeah.
Right. Well, what about, I know a lot of people that I know around here are familiar with the teachings of Abraham, which is channeled
mm-hmm.
through Esther Hicks, I believe. And,
mm-hmm.
and is this a similar thing that you're doing?
It's exactly the same thing. We have a fair amount of students who have come from Abraham that were just looking for more than what Abraham's
uh-huh.
message was. Abraham has not been human. Abraham sits around the fourth seal of consciousness, so they have a very good message, a very enlightening message. They're a great place for people to kind of begin their journey and really inspire them, to expand themselves. We love Esther. And the Julius kind of takes things from there for people who are wanting or desiring to expand even further. But we understand that people are very joyous and very happy with a certain amount of expansion in their life, and then we know that there are people who have an insatiable appetite for expansion, and that's generally where Julius comes in.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I've had a website now. My website's Inspire Possibility. That's been my company for many, many years. And I just changed the homepage. And I have an image with the sun setting, and the quote is, expand your horizons. So we're on the same thing here about expansion. And I know that people come to your talks and they ask questions. What I thought might be interesting is that I asked you beforehand if you are going to channel Julius. What would be the question that people ask? What's the most common question that people ask Julius that you hear comes to mind?
Why can't they get past their limitations? Why is it that everything in life is hard? Why is there suffering? Why is there illness? What are the things that keep us, limited? Those are the common questions. Human beings pretty much have a common thread of thought. They want money. They want love. They want health.
Let's just take one topic and like to ask Julius, can we do this? Why is there so much suffering? Yeah. Can we go with that?
Suffering is a perspective, master. Mm-hmm. Suffering is a perspective deeply seated in victimhood, which is seated in fear. It's a byproduct. It's a natural byproduct of separation and fear, and it does serve you in many, many, many ways. There are two primary fears that humans have. One is death, and the other is how powerful they are. They run from death, and they run from their power. And in order to run from their power, they have to take on the perspective of a victim, master. That gets them out of accountability. That gets them out of things that go wrong in their life and their responsibility. And the automated byproduct of victimhood is suffering. As one raises their consciousness and comes to the realization that that position will never gain them continual expansiveness into joy, they finally become strong enough, brave enough, and willing enough to look within themselves to find the answers. Once the unleashment of power begins, the suffering starts to calm itself down, and the fear begins to dissipate.
Wow. So there you have it, folks. So it's interesting. He's equating suffering with victimhood.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
The greatest thing that we can tell you is that you create everything in your life, master, because that means you can create it differently. What you don't normally realize is you're haphazardly creating. You are reactively creating from a detached position of not knowing how empowered you are. But once we begin to shift that perspective, all of these incredible cosmic tumblers start to fall into place, and you learn to master the phenomenon of intentional conscious manifestation, and your life shifts. The wonderment of all of this is it's not something you have to learn. It's just things you have to remember, because you are always manifesting, master. Everything in your life you have created, and you are creating it in an ongoing state every moment. Once you become aware of this truth, your truth changes, and so does all consciousness potential on this realm.
What it comes back to, what I'm hearing you say, is that we're the creator of our universe, and that we have to take responsibility for our life and not blame others.
You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to, but you will. You will finally do that, because that's where the resolution is. That is true. The good news is you will never go away, master. You will always eternally be. So no matter what your ignorant state, you eventually will work it out. But human beings will usually come to a point where they get tired of the wait. They're waiting for someone or something to fix them, and it's not happening. So they finally get up, brush their anger off, brush their fear off, and brush their blame off, and step into their empowerment where joy and happiness and healing and peace and resolve reside. Once that becomes the collective consciousness, Master, everything on this earth ship will shift. The reason that there is so much pain and anger and suffering is because the mass collective consciousness of human beings resides in fear and separation and isolation. But that is going to change.
So we get to choose, is what I'm hearing you say. We get to choose part to be happy.
Of course. It is the free will component, Master. It is the collective agreeable point of free will component. You don't get free will sometimes and other times not, based on a narcissistic being that gets to play with you for all eternity. You get to choose in every moment. But most people don't realize what they're choosing. When we speak to people of walking consciously, Master, all that means is walking awake and choosing your thoughts and your emotions so that you align your reality according to what you want or what you love. So a conscious state just means you're paying attention to how you think, but most people don't. If you were to ask them, what are you thinking? They usually will say, nothing. And we say, ah, beautiful statement of your state of beingness.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So to remind our listeners, you're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show. Today's show is Expand with Julius. Brad and Casey Wallace are our guests. So tell us again about how can people find out more about your work?
Well, we have a website, of course, expandwithjulius.com. That site is absolutely loaded with information, lots of programming, over 400 programs, classes. We do retreats. We have healing workshops that we do here at our facility, known as Art Factory. We do lots of programming as far as radio and television goes. And so it's not hard to be found once you find us. And go to the website.
So if people... do you like travel to give workshops too? People want you to come to a certain locale. Do you do that too?
Yes, yes. If there is a big enough group, how's that? Large enough group,
okay.
And that's because we do travel a lot anyway. We speak at a lot of conventions and at a lot of expos, spirituality expos, and so. We're usually tying something into at the time that we're at those expos. But if you've got a group of people together and you would like us to come visit and speak with you, you can talk to our support team, and they'd be more than happy to put something together for you.
We're coming to the end of our program here, so I want to thank Brad and Casey for... both of you for being my guests. It was fun and enlightening and inspirational and expansive and all of that good stuff. And it's great that you're sharing your truth, that you're not hiding from your truth, and it's not exactly a mundane truth. I mean, you're putting it out there and sounds like you're on an exciting adventure, kind of exploring this great mystery and full of fascination. So thank you so much for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
It's my pleasure. And to you out there listening, remember every week we have some enlightening, expansive people that will shift our thinking. And until next week, in the meantime, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.